Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy now weighing in following this radical Islamic terrorist attack in Boulder, Colorado over the weekend. Senator Sheehy via X saying, "This is a tragic reminder that Islamic terror remains a serious threat to Americans. Government's highest responsibility is the safety of its people. This is why securing our borders and deporting those who came here illegally is our top priority." And he was sharing the report from Fox News' Bill Malusian, who quoted three senior Department of Homeland Security sources telling Fox News that the Boulder terrorist suspect is an Egyptian national in the United States illegally. Basically, I'm sure all of you have been hearing the news about what happened. Just absolutely sickening, especially given what's been going on our college campuses around here. But this radical Islamic illegal alien terrorist basically started lighting these people on fire with a makeshift flamethrower, Molotov cocktails, however you want to refer to it. And I heard on Fox and Friends earlier this morning that one of the victims is a Holocaust survivor, burned alive on American soil by a radical Islamic terrorist allowed into this country because of the Joe Biden, John Tester open borders regime. CNN's Scott Jennings said it very well. He says, "It is a fight for the future of Western civilization, period. No way around it. We win or we lose." Looks like we've got a caller already on the phone lines wanting to weigh in on this topic as well. Steve in Ballantyne, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts?
Well, Aaron, my thoughts are is we have no idea how much that stuff is in this country because apparently, according to Fox News on the computer, just read it, that this individual was part of one of the fly-ins. So if that is the case, they can't even vet the people that he's flown in on a military plane. If they can't even vet the ones that are coming in through the system slash, you know, the government knowing them, you know, doing the research, apparently, you know, they flew this terrorist into this country. Can you imagine how many of them walked into this country?
Wow. I hadn't even seen that part of the story yet. I saw that they gave him a visa, but I mean, that's basically what they were. Remember the secret flights where they were flying these illegal aliens all over the country, and not even just military flights. These were commercial flights. These were like chartered flights where they were booking flights for these illegal aliens to just send them in secret all over this country. Yeah. So I hadn't even seen that angle yet, but yeah, they didn't care. And vetting, what vetting? You have nothing to vet against. So how do they know who they were bringing into this country? But yeah, you summed it up well. They didn't even care because they saw it, the far left, and they had this puppet Joe Biden in the White House that didn't even know where he was, what he was signing off on, or who was using his auto pen to sign off on things. And so they had their window of a 4-year window of opportunity. And they wanted to flood this country with the entire third world, with anybody and everybody they could bring here. They had their window of opportunity to try to bring this country down, and boy, did they take advantage of it, didn't they? Steve, thanks for the call.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
A lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
It's June 2nd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Rocky Road Day. Go ahead, indulge in two scoops of this delicious ice cream treat featuring nuts, mini marshmallows, and chunks of semi-sweet chocolate. Also on this day in 1979, Pope John Paul II becomes the first pontiff to visit a communist country. Millions of people line the streets of Warsaw as the Pope began his 9-day trip to his native Poland. If you've been to a wedding, you've heard this. Felix Mendelssohn's wedding march is used at a wedding for the first time in 1847. But it was the wedding of Victoria, Princess Royal, and Prince Frederick William of Prussia in 1858 that made the work world famous. American singer-songwriter guitarist Bo Diddley died on this day in 2008 at the age of 79. I'm CJ Papa, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Man, what a fun hour we had on Friday's Montana Talks. David Allen with the Nile Rodeo. We talked about his appearances in this new Dale Earnhardt documentary because he was a right-hand man for Dale Earnhardt. So that was a great conversation. Plus, Janine Edwards. She now lives in Red Lodge, Montana, but she's a former ESPN reporter. Got her start in horse racing. That was a fun conversation as well. What are we going to talk about in the week ahead? Why don't you tell us, Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Hey, Sean.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you as well. 406-294-0970. And then in just a few minutes, Ashley Smith Thomas is getting to join us. Thanks to our friends at Fox News Radio. Earlier this morning on X, I shared this video of Joe Biden. Joe Biden's out there. TheDailyWire.com has this story. Somebody allowed him to get in front of a camera again over the weekend, and Joe Biden's out there. He was asked about the Jake Tapper book showing how he was basically lost in the sauce for his entire 4 years as president of the United States. And Joe Biden is responding now by saying that he can beat the hell out of Jake Tapper and his co-author, Alex Thompson. So, and so I shared that video, and Tim and Billings had an interesting response. Tim and Billings, because I said, why is the Biden family even allowing Joe Biden on camera anymore? Because every time he gets on a camera, he doesn't inspire or invoke any confidence. It's not like, oh, well, Joe Biden was on TV over the weekend. Oh, I guess he's okay. I guess he's doing just fine. I guess he totally was competent. Nobody thinks that. And so why are they even allowing him in front of the cameras? And Tim and Billings, his theory is that, well, the reason why they want this story of the Jake Tapper book to continue to stay out there is because it distracts the media from having to talk about the other controversies, like the massive spending that Doge is looking to trim back, or the who was signing off on all these pardons with the auto pen. But I don't know. But to me, I kind of think that the more we see these videos of Joe Biden, the more we hear, about what I think is the biggest scandal in one of the biggest scandals in presidential history, I think the more it actually underscores the need for these investigations with regard to Joe Biden's the White House's use of the auto pen for all of these pardons and so much more. Anyway, let's jump into it here. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Steve, calling in from somewhere on the roads of Montana. Steve, what's on your mind?
I'm just curious. The talking point right now is how many federal jobs are being lost. And the news I watched this morning is talking about the hurricane season. We won't be able to predict how many hurricanes there are because Trump let so many people go. What I'm curious about, how many people did Biden bring on when he hired so many government workers over his tenure?
Oh, it was a massive increase. I'm trying to think. Somebody asked that question, or somehow that topic came up a few weeks ago. So I asked Grok. I said, hey, how much did the federal employee workforce expand under Joe Biden's tenure? And it's massive. I mean, much bigger than, of course, President Trump's first term, much, much bigger than even when Barack Hussein Obama was president of the United States. And so, that's why a lot of these, Republican senators, as they now, get their hack on what's called the Big Beautiful Bill, they're talking about going to pre-COVID-19 spending levels because Joe Biden, or at least the people that were using Joe Biden as a puppet, they took advantage of COVID-19 to justify insane levels of government spending and then to add more people to the federal government payroll. which is, you know, kind of like allowing more illegal aliens into this country. They see that as getting more people that would vote for them. You know, they see federal bureaucrats as working for them, so they wanted to hire more federal bureaucrats. That's also why they wanted to bring 21 million plus illegal aliens into this country.
Of course.
Yeah.
It'd just be nice if somebody told the truth once and said just about what you did. We're going back to the same levels we had pre-COVID. You know, it's not like the scare tactic trying to make people all worried about whatever it is, you know, we're trying to forecast or predict.
Yeah, no, it's the constant fear campaign out of the media, just like they did with tariffs. And then when that blew up in their face, they just moved on to another story and as if the whole thing never happened. Yeah, it's par for the course from the Trump derangement syndrome media. All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's see. Next up, we've got Willie in the Paradise Valley. Willie, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. Besides a bunch of heavy rain up here in this country, it's flying all over the state. But anyway, the reason I was calling, I just read your article about Big John taking his big fat job he's going to do with the TV deal. And I got it. We could start calling him Big John, the Big Con.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, yeah. I called him the super-sized, super-pack hypocrite because I thought he was supposed to go back to the farm in Big Sandy. I mean, they always tried to paint this guy as he's just a moderate, which was BS. Oh, he'll just go back to the farm in Big Sandy after he loses the Senate race. And he took a job with MSNBC, and now he just took another job with a super PAC. The guy who complained about dark money and super PACs just took a job with a super PAC.
Yeah, it's just sad, that guy. He can't tell the truth, I don't think. Still makes me mad, too, how he lied about Conrad Burns all the time, too. So, anyway, I just thought I'd call him about Big John, the Big Con. So.
Yep. And remember the con job of the very media that propped him up throughout his entire tenure as well. Yeah, the guy was a fraud since day one, but the media was in on it because, you know, they've been in the back pocket for the Democrats. All right, Willie, great to hear from you. We'll get to Nancy and Roundup coming up right after the break, and then I think we got Ashley Smith Thomas on tap right after that. But hey, keep your phone calls coming because after we wrap up our quick conversation with Ashley Smith Thomas, we've got phone lines open for you as well. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. And then later on in the 9 o'clock hour, Jim Brown, Montana's Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. So, yeah, looking forward to catching up with him because insurance rates have been crazy, haven't they?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's one thing to be said about the status quo in any organization, and that is at one time, at least, everyone agreed with it. Finding a consensus that's at least tolerable to groups of leaders with different views is hard work, as every Montana legislator knows. And so at least starting with the status quo has a certain appeal in efforts to forge something new. But what if that status quo is piloting a Titanic towards an iceberg dead ahead? The federal government budgeting process is a poster child for the status quo. Huge, untouchable entitlements that plow forward, an exploding debt interest payment that must be paid, and a small slice of discretionary spending that has been continuously rolled over through the passage of endless continuing resolutions. And there is an iceberg ahead, a bond market that's already sending out signals that the appetite for forever financing our huge budget deficits may be waning. And so the familiar Washington budget needs a shakeup. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
There's a new book out alleging Biden administration officials tried to hide their boss's decline. Now some Republicans in Congress are investigating, yet voters were skeptical from the beginning. In November 2021, only 1 year after former President Biden was elected, more than half of voters in our Fox News national survey said his age was interfering with his ability to serve effectively as president. 53% felt that way, including 3 in 10 Democrats. That was just the start. By the 2022 midterms, our voter analysis election survey found 57% felt Biden lacked the mental capability to serve. And by July 2024, our final read, it was up to 2/3, 65%. So while some aides may have tried to mislead the public about the former president's condition, the numbers don't lie. Most voters didn't buy it. Be sure to check out our website, foxnews.com/poll. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
broadcasting live across the big sky. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's sneak in a quick phone call here, and then we've got our great guest on the phone lines as well. Nancy in Roundup, we kicked off this show talking about this Islamic terrorist down in Boulder, Colorado. Your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
Well, we just had a Memorial Day of remembrance. World War II, we lost 400,000 Americans who fought against the Nazi persecution of the Jewish, and it didn't work. We just had Sarah Milgram and Yaron Lachinsky, and now these other Jewish who were harassed and injured and possibly murdered, if any die, in Boulder, Colorado. And all I can say is this. I still say that the Republican Party, when all this was going on, when these illegals were being allowed into our country the last 4 years, like Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, he was like an ancient Roman senator just strutting around and giving these eloquent speeches while nothing was being done. I blame the Republicans as much as the Democrats on this. And all I can say is I have one question. What in the hell are we going to do about it? What are we going to do to the people who allowed this to happen in the last 4 years? I'm sick of it, and so is everyone else. I want law and order. I want these people brought in justice. I want to see them in orange jumpsuits in prison.
Yeah, well, and then everybody else sent back home. That's why this one big, beautiful bill that House Republicans delivered and the Senate's taking their chop on right now matters. We could go through a whole list of everything the Republicans did, especially Republican governors in Texas and elsewhere, to stand up to the Joe Biden, John Tester regime, and we can tell what a massive difference there is between the Democrats and the Republicans right now. Ashley Smith Thomas, founder and CEO of Freedom Fund USA, great to have you back on the show. I know we were going to get your take. So Senate Republicans are now planning a hearing on Joe Biden's cognitive decline and the massive scandal and attempted cover-up. There's also House Republicans are launching a hearing on the Biden administration's use of the auto pen. But first, your thoughts on just the differences between the Republicans compared to the Democrats when it comes to the open borders.
That's such a great question, and thank you for having me. And, hearing what the caller had expressed, I'm right there with her in the sense that at this point, Republicans are much to blame in regards to the Democrats when it came to the border. I mean, when people have contacted their senators, particularly in the border states, many have said from their offices, well, we can't do anything as long as Joe Biden is president. That was the excuse straight across the board. And we didn't really see, both from the House and the Senate, this aggressive push to really secure the border. And so I would say, you know, now that we have President Trump, the state leadership's trying to do the best that they could. You look at Governor Abbott here in Texas. I'm from Texas. Governor Abbott did the best that he could, trying to use state resources to really try and secure Texas because the federal government wasn't doing it. And then what ends up happening is that you get this football being passed around both from the state and the federal, and that in certain issues, when it came to the law enforcement component, the states would say, oh, well, that's a federal issue. Then the feds would say, oh, well, that's a state issue. So you get this political football going back and forth. And at the end of the day, what ends up happening, we have an open porous border. We get Islamist terrorists coming across the border. And look at what happened, you know, in Boulder, Colorado. I mean, there's been people in the national security community that have been sounding the alarm, particularly not only after the Hamas attack, but also the Afghanistan withdrawal debacle, and how our security was not secure, which then leads me into this point in that finally Senate Republicans are looking at holding Biden accountable, and we'll see if this will actually stick. But there are concerns and questions concerning around his cognitive ability. And, you know, you look at, was our country at risk of national security issues under his administration? And here's the other issue. If he was more of an absent president, who was running our country? And so these are some of the questions that Republicans are looking at. You have Senators Eric Schmidt of Missouri, John Cornyn of Texas. They announced plans to hold a Senate Judiciary hearing June 18th to look into this alleged cover-up of former President Biden's mental decline while in office. And the other question comes down to is that is this a constitutional issue? And if so, we need to address those and we need to fix it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, when it comes to the border, I mean, at this point, it shouldn't be a left or right issue. It's an American issue. And I just would like to see both Republicans and Democrats to come together and put the safety and sovereignty of the American people first.
Yeah, that's right. I know some people questioned back when he first started doing it. They questioned Texas for, you know, basically busing and flying these criminal illegal aliens right into the blue sanctuary cities. But, you know, as we talked about at the time, I mean, that was one of the most brilliant, most effective ways to actually finally push back against this illegal alien invasion. Because once they finally started showing up in a big way in the backyard of some of these blue cities, even the blue city mayors started to then push back against it as well. And some might today say, just like they said, well, is this just a sideshow by putting these illegal aliens in the blue cities, especially when they didn't have the authority to just straight up deport them, right? Especially if Joe Biden's just going to send them right back. Some might say, well, this auto pen investigation, is this just a sideshow? I would say no, because to me, you look at everything that was done over the last 4 years, it's very obvious that the far left knew that they had a puppet in Joe Biden and they could do whatever they wanted. And 4 years of a massive spending spree, putting money in their own pockets, opening up our borders to 21 million plus illegal aliens. And so to me, this is one of the biggest scandals in presidential history, and it needs to continue to be exposed because as we start to unravel the devastating decisions that took place over the last 4 years, this justifies that, if you ask me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, like you mentioned, you look at the past 4 years, you look at the horrible policies, you look at the position that America was in, you look at the national security concerns that happened under the Biden administration from the Hamas attack on October 7th there in 2023 on Israel to, again, the horrible Afghanistan withdrawal debacle back in 2021-2022. You also look at, as well, that in 2022, Russia invading Ukraine. You have terrorists that are crossing our border. It was just a hot mess. And I say this all the time. It's by God's grace that something major did not happen on U.S. soil during that time. But it's interesting because, you know, you look at this, Senator Cornyn made such a great point when they were making their statement on announcing this Senate Judiciary hearing to be on June 18th. What is interesting is that in a statement, he stated that, you know, legacy media, they push and they question anyone. Either you're for Biden or you're against him. It was either or. There's, you know, like that was it. But he made the statement, and it was such a good point, in that quote, the question is, who is in charge? Whose finger is on the nuclear button or has the nuclear codes? Who can declare war? How do we defend the nation when we have basically an absent president? And those are the constitutional issues we need to address and correct, Cornyn said. So he went one step further and also penned a letter to the Attorney General Pam Bondi last week urging that the DOJ to investigate whether the Biden admin was being lawful and how they presented this his cognitive condition to the country. So he stated in his letter to the DOJ to open a probe into, quote, any potential violations of federal law surrounding the representation made to the American people about his health and well-being. And here's what's also interesting, too, is that, you know, not only did you have the cognitive decline, I mean, we as the American people saw it, Democrats saw it, the media saw it, and they're complicit in covering it up for the past 4 years. Now you have CNN Jake Tapper and Axios reporter Alex Thompson writing a book claiming that the Biden White House was trying to control the narrative about the former president's health and that his allies worked to cover up his decline. So now you have the legacy media trying to quickly switch their stance and making it look like, well, we were just doing what the White House said. We're just they were feeding us the narrative. And here's the thing, the media bamboozled, and even I would go one step further, that Biden and Jill bamboozled the American people for 4 years because his health was indeed declining. And the fact that 2 weeks ago you have it being announced that he has stage 4 prostate cancer, again, the question comes down to why did a physician every single year declare that he was fit and healthy to serve as president.
And Jill Biden, too. I mean, you know, as much as we try to leave family members and spouses out of it, I mean, she was running cabinet meetings, so she doesn't get to sit back and say, oh, wait, no, I'm just the spouse. Why are you questioning me? I remember after that disastrous debate where Jill Biden melted down in front of Donald Trump. But then again, even the best of them can melt down in front of Donald J. Trump on the debate stage, right? But the next day, Jill Biden was talking about Joe in front of Joe like he was a three-year-old. Joe did so good. He answered all the questions, didn't he? And it was just absolutely embarrassing. But it's just proof positive that she was straight up lying about this guy for all 4 years so that she and her family could enrich themselves and stay in power.
Of course. And then the fact that Jill and Joe are working on a book deal that's supposedly going to be a $30 million book deal. She's going to use Joe to get what she needs and wants, which is going to be money. And then she's just going to discard him to the side is what we're going to see. And honestly, I can even look at elderly abuse. I mean, it was just tragic to see how she treated him during the presidency, and forced him to stay in that position. He was not fit to leave this country. We all know it. And the fact that they propped him up. But I think the real question comes down to then who was running our country? Who was answering these national security answers? Who was answering on behalf of the United States to foreign leaders? Because when you look at, you know, and you take the, look back at videos during global meetings and former President Biden standing there on the global stage, I mean, he just looked weak while our enemies.
Who was running the White House? Or in other words, who was wearing the Easter Bunny costume? Because that person seemed to see like they were running the White House. Yeah, who signed off on all those pardons with the auto pen? Ashley Smith Thomas, founder and CEO of Freedom Fund USA. Great to have you on the show as always. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, appreciate it. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Quick break. Great time to call.
Securing America.
During comments this past weekend at a global security conference in Singapore, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth warned against China's plans for the Indo-Pacific, saying directly that when it comes to the region,
a threat gathers.
Hegseth said the U.S. does not seek military conflict with China, but that through its military buildup,
China has demonstrated that it wants to fundamentally alter the region's status quo.
Which, according to Hegseth, means a potential attempt by the Chinese to reclaim Taiwan as soon as 2027.
The PLA is building the military needed to do it, training for it every day, and rehearsing for the real deal.
Hegseth adding,
the threat China poses is real, and it could be imminent. We hope not, but it certainly could be.
The Chinese have called the secretary's remarks defamatory and representative of a Cold War mentality. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. What about the auto pen investigation? Yeah, we referenced that during that conversation we just had with Ashley Smith Thomas. The House Oversight Committee is preparing for a hearing on the Biden administration's use of the auto pen, basically alleging, with a pretty good reason why, that a group of White House aides took advantage of former President Joe Biden's mental state. Here's Lucas Tomlinson with Fox News Radio.
Before he was a Texas congressman, Dr. Ronnie Jackson was the White House physician for 14 years. He was asked by Maria Bartiromo in Sunday Morning Futures why none of Joe Biden's medical issues were in his public records.
The reason is because Dr. O'Connor was his physician for 8 years when he was vice president. He literally became part of the Biden family.
The House Oversight Committee has launched an investigation into what it said was a cover-up of Biden's mental decline and use of the auto pen. Here's the Republican chairman, James Comer.
Well, we've identified the four staffers that we believe were the ones who actually took the documents and placed them in the auto pen.
If the former first lady is called to testify on Capitol Hill, many will be eagerly awaiting her responses.
Yeah, it's just amazing, too, how they will downplay this story. How the rest in the media will downplay this story. But yet, Donald Trump pardons one person
and they go crazy. Oh, why did he pardon this person? Is it because they donated to his campaign? Look at all of the pardons that the auto pen signed off on in Joe Biden's final days in power. He was out at the beach and likely out to lunch at the same time these pardons were taking place. We need to know who actually was using the auto pen and why, and did they have the authority to do so when they did it? Were these people being bribed? Did these people get rewarded with high-dollar jobs after leaving the Biden White House because they broke out the auto pen to sign certain things into law, or because they used the auto pen to sign off on some pardons? That's why this really is one of the biggest presidential scandals in history and why all these investigations are justified. Yeah, Joe Biden, by the way, if you guys missed it, the Daily Wire shared this audio from the Trump war room. Apparently some reporter, he was at some event in Delaware over the weekend, and Joe Biden was basically, when he was asked, well, I'll just play the audio clip. You can hear it for yourself.
And there's also been a lot of discussion recently about your mental and physical capabilities while you were in office.
You can see that. I'm mentally incompetent, and I can't walk, and I can beat the hell out of both of them.
Well, do you want to reply to any of those reports, and also to the fact that there are some Democrats who are now questioning whether you should have run for re-election in the first place?
Why didn't they run against me then? You've beaten him.
Do you have any regrets?
No, I don't.
All right, there you go. Joe Biden claiming that he can beat the hell out of Jake Tapper and his co-author, Alex Thompson. There he goes. Angry old man all the way up to the bitter finish. What a crazy old kook. Let's go to Ken in the Billings Heights next up on the phone lines. Ken, what's going on?
Yeah, good morning. Say, you know, you talk about this Democratic Party. This Democratic Party. Whole party, I don't care, everybody that voted for Biden or got involved with Biden, this party makes Al Capone look like a saint with a halo. They have spent billions and billions and billions of dollars of our taxpayers' money on every kind of thing you can think of, and they were in cahoots with, like, Soros, the CCP, and all of these other radical groups to take this country down. And it's about time, I think, with Cash Patel and Bongino, maybe they can go in there and just arrest every single one of them. I don't think about waiting, you know, trials or anything. We know they're guilty of sin.
Well, a trial shouldn't take that long. I mean, Alejandro Mayorkas and this treasonous invasion that he allowed to take place on American soil, and the fact that a radical Islamic terrorist just burned a Holocaust survivor alive on American soil is just another just a shocking example of what they allowed into this country repeatedly. Ken, thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to Steve in Bozeman. Steve, what's going on?
Well, I think we're in an important time in our country. But anyway, this has been going on for a long time. When you study the Communist Manifesto, the 10th plank is public education. You make the little children grow up that believe in black is white, white is black, good's evil, evil good, and they believe it. But we turned our money system over to Rothschild, the 8 richest families in the world. They create the wars, and the American people just wonder what's happening.
Well, now we've got the World Economic Forum and everything we've seen there from Klaus Schwab. By the way, I got a response back from PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, after my coverage last week of the PETA, you know, the PETA stunts outside the barbecue joint in Great Falls. And it's actually this will be a fun one to share with you, because speaking of the globalists who did everything they possibly could to destroy this country, like Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum, Dr. Fauci, they responded to a post on X, and they said, oh, we actually called out Dr. Fauci for what he was doing with the Beagles. So I'm going to get that update on our website here soon. Okay, next up on the phone lines, a little backstory for you here. So Friday, Freedom Friday on the show, we had our friend George Blackard in the house, and And one of the stories George brought up was this Montana Free Press, which is, of course, it's a liberal news website here. But the Montana Free Press had a story about Northwestern Energy and an electricity rate increase. This was the headline: without utility board approval, Northwestern Energy implements 17% electricity rate increase. And so anyway, George Blackard sounded off on the Montana Public Service Commission over that one and said, hey, why didn't you do anything about it? Or are you just going to allow it to go into effect without saying anything about it? And so Public Service Commission President Brad Molnar said he was listening in and wanted to respond. So Brad Molnar, thanks for calling in. What did you want to say in response to George's criticisms Friday?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to criticize or demagogue George. You know, he took an article and he reached some conclusions that happened to be faulty. And he said some things that I thought would be of benefit to your listeners. You know, I'm not, you know, I hear wrong and faulty things all the time and I don't respond.
But so was the Free Press article, I'll give you plenty of time here. So was the Montana Free Press article, were they wrong? Did they have a lot of spin on their article? Because we've seen that happen before, that's for sure.
No, I think that was accurate. And I think that the one in the Lee Enterprises scattered across the state that came out about the same, or last Friday, I believe, was accurate. Perhaps not the way I would have written it, but close enough. The main thing that I think both articles tried to cover is that this is Northwestern's increase. They did it on their own. Well, by law, they can, if we take over 9 months in a rate case, to come up with a final conclusion. That law was written in 1950. In 1950, I don't know what the laws were on, or 1977. I was born in 50. But the laws on public participation have evolved and changed tremendously in the last 50 years. And Northwestern gets to choose the day that they file, and they get to choose what's in the filing. In this case, for the first time ever, it is five rate cases in one. Our staff for economics and for legal, economics is six people right now. Legal is five, to handle five rate increases at one time with the same end date is virtually impossible. There are there's 17 interveners in this, all of which get to get their time. And of those 17, none totally agree with Northwestern's calculations. So there's only four that do, and they want to settle.
So you're saying that because the rate case took more than 9 months, that's why they were able to implement a 17% rate increase on their own without the PSC approval. So what was the holdup on the rate case? Because you know, there were others who were questioning why the PSC didn't intervene on this, or could or could not have. So, well, could the PSC have sped up the rate rate case to or hearing to prevent it? Basically,
no. The interveners under the right to public participation. And there's a lot of case law.
Well, tell you what, hold that thought. We'll get your answer right after this. PSC President Brad Molnar, got to hit the hard break here. Stand by.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Where do we get the big, beautiful bill, energy dominance going, the tax cuts in place, the $10 trillion in committed monies to be spent, manufacturing beginning in this country? Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent telling Fox News that he has sympathy for some members of the Senate who want more spending cuts, but the issue can't be solved in a year. They're doing their very best. They're also working under the difficulty of reconciliation, which is hard. But it is, I would argue, the most conservative bill I've seen in my life. Not perfect. And I think they got to get to work right away and take their pen and start slashing as much as possible and move this country towards a balanced budget and stop robbing from our kids and save, you know, Social Security and Medicaid, and also build the next generation of weaponry. It's going to take a lot of money.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Warning, the national debt is spiraling out of control. Trade wars are causing record volatility, and tariffs could cause inflation to make a devastating comeback. Are you ready for what more 2025 could bring? Will you sit on the sidelines and wait? Or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax and penalty-free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you could get an unlimited bonus silver if you qualify. Help secure your future today. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. That's HannityGold.com or 855-815-GOLD. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. That's HannityGold.com or 855-815-GOLD.
The week ahead.
Monday, Fox Nation will air the sixth installment of The Senate Project, a series which brings together sitting senators from opposing parties for civil dialogue on current political issues, with the goal of bridging partisan divides. The latest installment will feature Pennsylvania Senators John Fetterman and Dave McCormick, and hosted by Fox's Shannon Bream. Tuesday, United Airlines implements a new domestic check-in window. Anyone with carry-on bags must have checked in at least 45 minutes before departure. Wednesday, do you want to be popular? Wicked is back in theaters for one night only, with the debut trailer of the sequel premiering after the film. Thursday, a new basketball champion will be crowned soon. The NBA Finals begin. Friday, economists will be taking a look at the release of the May jobs report to take the pulse of the state of the American economy. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I know we've got just a quick few minutes left here in the hour, and then we've got another caller from Eastern Montana we want to sneak on here as well. But yeah, back to PSC President Brad Molnar. So, Brad, I was seeing in this free press article here that, let's see, Gary Duncan, who has been working in utility regulation for four decades, said he isn't aware of a Montana utility rolling out a new rate without regulatory approval ever before. And so, yeah, it wasn't just George. I mean, we had some other listeners call in, too, that basically felt like either the PSC got rolled or rolled over. Is there anything you can do about it here?
There is a similar law with a time frame like that in Washington and Oregon. Those are the only two I know of. There might be more. But the PSC can intervene afterwards, after the request. We cannot. That law says they can do it. They did it with 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks to go before the rate case. The question is, why did they do it when for decades, we have never been able to do a rate case of any size in less than 270 days or less than 9 months. Quite often it takes half that time just to write the order. This time it's five rate increases at once. There will be like 117 people between attorneys, expert witnesses, and staff sitting in there for 10 days on this. After that is when we get started with the other parts. So to say that we'll give you 3 months to present your case of five cases, and everybody else can respond and do data requests and get data responses and all the thing, a legal review on various questions, it cannot be done in the 1977 timeframe. And they never complained once about the schedule. They were the ones that 3 weeks after the deadline asked for a settlement and extended this. The extension was theirs.
It sounds like you're frustrated with Northwestern Energy, but some of our listeners might be saying, okay, you sound mad about it, but what are you going to do about it?
Well, I've already started that process. There's only two things we can do about it. One would be in rule, and we can't violate the law with the rule. And the other would be go back to the legislature and say, look, we're the regulators. We know the time frames.
They can take us to court if we're dragging our feet. We can't take them. In the case of Colstrip for a dollar, I was an intervener. They would not answer questions for a month at a time. In the current PCAM, the only reason I got in my $5 million question was they were two and a half months late. So I wanted to write a rule that a rate case can only be one topic, the same as it is in the Constitution, the same as it is in legislation. I was stopped by my own staff. They said the only way we can do this is sit down with Northwestern and try to negotiate a rule. If that fails, go to the legislature.
Yeah, or maybe so, a hearing or a town hall meeting with some tough questions or something, I guess, is what people are looking for. They felt like the PSC just didn't really do anything and is just saying, oh, nothing we can do about it.
Well, the big town meeting, and I invite George to this, is next Monday it starts, is the rate case. That's where for 10 days we will be sitting in our seats listening to testimony on five separate issues, plus a PCAM that goes into it. And after that is when we will get into the final order part. I invite George. I've been up there when he was talking. I like him. Come on up. I'll give you a seat just like ours, and you can sit there for a day and see if we are rolling over or if we're doing our job. But don't say that you think that we might be saying, I'll let them take the heat. We'll let them do the rate increase. We still make the
Well, there were a lot of Montanans who had that same response, and based off of the news reports and the quotes and everything. So either the news got it wrong, or that's just the way people read it. But either way, I like the idea of folks, you know, knowing that that hearing is coming up so they can watch firsthand. All right, Commissioner Molnar, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in to our caller in eastern Montana. Sorry we ran out of time. We've got James Brown, a Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, coming up right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's one thing to be said about the status quo in any organization, and that is at one time, at least, everyone agreed with it. Finding a consensus that's at least tolerable to groups of leaders with different views is hard work, as every Montana legislator knows. And so at least starting with the status quo has a certain appeal in efforts to forge something new. But what if that status quo is piling a Titanic towards an iceberg dead ahead? The federal government budgeting process is a poster child for the status quo. Huge, untouchable entitlements that plow forward, an exploding debt interest payment that must be paid, and a small slice of discretionary spending that has been continuously rolled over through the passage of endless continuing resolutions. And there is an iceberg ahead, a bond market that's already sending out signals that the appetite for forever financing our huge budget deficits may be waning. And so the familiar Washington budget needs a shakeup. I'm Patrick Markey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.